fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to continue the discussion, really the proclamation, you might say, of the beauty of Christ's rising to glory. Yesterday, I was talking about the Transfiguration, which I've been chewing on over the last month since we celebrated it early in August, the story of the Transfiguration. There's a lot to the story. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program yesterday, you could go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can listen to kind of initial reflections on the Transfiguration. There's so much to say about it. I think yesterday I got really excited and didn't get to some of what I wanted to get to because I was just thinking as I was talking about what we've been given in Jesus Christ. And you know, one of the things we see in the apostles, in the letters that they wrote, Peter, Paul, John, and others in the New Testament, is they say time and again, what we have seen or what we have touched, what we've heard, we declare to you. This we know, we are witnesses. They keep repeating, we're witnesses to something. And they're witnesses ultimately to Christ dying and his rising and his ascension to the right hand of the Father. They testify to it. And they testify to its implications. And at the heart of it, what they communicate is that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the phrase that is very common in the early church. It's summarized. In essence, what's at the heart of Christianity and what the message of Christianity is all about, who we are and our identity, it summarizes in just three words, maybe even four words that say, Jesus Christ is Lord. And you can break down those three names, Jesus Christ, Lord. What do those three things mean? Those three titles, names, what do they mean? What do they reveal? And you'll find they're the very essence of Christianity and the essence of what the church is herself and what she's called to be. What they proclaimed and a heart of their experience was they tasted, they beheld, they even touched the glory of God. What is glory? It's God's renown. It's his majesty. It's his greatness. It's his awesome transcendence. They got a glimpse of it at different times through Jesus' teaching, through his signs and wonders, raising people from the dead, his power to forgive sins, his institution of the Eucharist, his power over Satan, driving out demons. They knew, they could see, they got glimpses of his power. But Jesus came the first time as a lamb, right? He came to lay down his life to become a sacrifice for sin. Jesus came to destroy the power of the enemy, not by summoning the full force of his army, the armies of heaven, and a full unveiling of his great power. But he came hidden in that sign of contradiction on the cross, where he looked like a miserably failed Messiah, a sad figure, tragic, naked, broken, abandoned, sinful, bloodied, humiliated. But Jesus, his power is made perfect in that moment of weakness as well, in his obedience to the Father, his whole life. The Father called him to become one of us, which is a condescension, and that Philippians 2 tells us that beautiful hymn to Christ, that he humbled himself and became a slave, a servant, born in the likeness of men. He did not deem equality with God, that is, his literal equal status with the Father, as something to be grasped, but he emptied himself of it. The word is kenosis. He emptied himself. Why? To obey the Father, to demonstrate his love for the Father, to be the faithful Son that every one of us was made to be, to give to the Father everything that belongs to God the Father. He did what the Father commissioned him, called him, commanded him to do, to become a sacrifice for sin, to save you, to save me. And he did just that. But the Father, the Holy Spirit, raised Jesus Christ from the dead and raised him to glory at the right hand of the Father. And now, absolutely free, in total power, in all glory and majesty sits Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Mary's Son. And now in the Spirit, through faith, through the preaching of the church and listening to the testimony of the apostles who say, what we've seen, what we've touched, what we've heard, we're telling you, this is real. Jesus Christ is Lord. What does that mean? That he now sits on the throne of God in all power and authority belong to Mary's son, Jesus, the one who was born in Nazareth, who grew up in Galilee. One of us has taken his seat at the right hand of the Father. And glory now is possible for you and for me. We were made for glory, to share in God's life, to be raised to glory with Christ. So Peter caught a glimpse of that glory on the Mount of Transfiguration with James and John. And it says Jesus was transfigured before them. It said here, he was transfigured before them and his face shone like the sun and his garments became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said, Lord, Lord, this is where Peter says he'll build three booths. And in the midst of talking, it says a bright cloud overshadowed them. The cloud is often a sign of what? Of the presence of God. The story of the people, the cloud that came with the people of Israel who were wandering in the desert. God's presence accompanied them, his holy presence. The cloud that set on Mount Sinai where God spoke to Moses and revealed himself. And on Moses' face then was the glory of God because he came into the tent of meeting with God at that time. And he would be radiant so much that the people couldn't bear to see it. He had to cover his face. But a revelation, a very important revelation happens. God's voice comes from the cloud, God the Father. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to him. The entire human race and the hope of the human race is right here. Are we hearing him? Are we listening to him? Are we obeying him? And are we actively responding to what we're hearing? The apostles are telling us here, these are historic people. They actually lived and walked, right? And they testified to what they saw, and they were killed, and they were silenced, just like their master, just like Jesus. Jesus told them that the world is going to hate the revelation that you bring to the world. And the revelation is that God exists, that God is king over all, that Jesus Christ is Lord, that every one of us are responsible before God, that we can't design our life any way we want to. We're going to be accountable before the Lord who has all power and authority in heaven and earth and who is the ultimate judge. We will literally, every one of us, give an account before this Lord, before this one who Matthew's gospel is teaching us about. To him, we're going to have to give an account. And we hate that idea, that somehow in this world, we have to conform to someone else's desire, someone else's command. We have to be in obedience and we're called to be servants. And man, we hate that too. We want to serve, not to be served. Jesus said, I come among you as one who serves. And if you want to follow me, that's what you got to do. And that's where he's leading us. And so the key to it all is to hear the words of the Father. This is my beloved Son. Jesus is the unique, eternal Son of God, the joy of the Father's heart, his beloved, his precious child for all eternity. And he's so proud of him. He's so delighted in the victory of his Son, obedient and faithful to the Father, who demonstrated his love for the Father, who saves those creatures made in his Father's image, you and me. He's come to save us. And that brings joy to the Father's heart because he wants you saved and me saved and every man and woman on the earth to be restored to glory. But the answer is for us to follow the apostles who listen to him. And this is what they're communicating to us. listen to him. The passage goes on. Jesus commands Peter, as I mentioned yesterday, don't tell anybody, Peter and James and John, don't tell anybody what you saw. Imagine that secret they had to hold on to till he was raised from the dead. They got a glimpse of, you might say they got sneak previews of coming attractions. What is the coming attraction? The revealing of the glory of God. The world has become a battleground where a usurper, a false lord, has established his kingdom. And his entire focus is to try to hide and diminish the revelation of the glory of Jesus Christ. And in particular, the revelation of the glory of Jesus Christ coming alive in the hearts of human beings. What does Paul tell us? What's our great hope? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of glory. God's plan is the steady unfolding of his glory and majesty in a world that doesn't see it, in a world that rejects it, in a world that wants to boast of its own glory, that wants to pretend that its glory, its self-creative prowess, rooted in hubris, in human pride and ego, look what I've made, look what I've constructed, look what I drive, look what I have. See what I look like. See what power and influence I have. It's the great temptation to envy God's majesty and glory and insist on reducing that, reducing the person of Jesus Christ and marginalizing him. We even do that in the church. Baptized people, we want to reduce Jesus because we don't want to have to live under his lordship and majesty and his authority. We're happy that he's Savior. We just don't like the Lord part quite so much because it puts demands on us. But the apostles declared his glory. They gladly, as St. Paul said, boy, in light of what I've seen in the glory of Jesus Christ, I'm redoing the math in my life completely. I've recalculated everything. I used to think a lot of things were really important. My bloodline, my academic achievements, my religious zeal. There's no one quite like me. And I mean, I had it going and I was set apart and I saw myself as being set apart and being really special. And now I realize that there's nothing to that because all of us stand falling short of the glory of God. All of us stand in need of redemption and salvation and to be made a new creation. Now in the light of Jesus Christ, I can see how pathetic, Paul's saying, the things I clung to, how pathetic it is. But instead now, I've been given a kingdom. I've seen the King. I've seen the King of glory, who has no rival, who has no equal. By the grace of the Spirit, I've been granted a peek into what's coming and what lies ahead for those who follow him and those who believe in him. And Paul says, I count everything else as cow manure in light of the glory and majesty of Jesus Christ. May that be your heart and mine today. God bless you. Have a good day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.